Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores on 91.7 FM. I'm your host, Katie Service, and this is a recap of all of the news from the University of Connecticut from this past week. This broadcast is in collaboration with UConn's newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn's student-run television station, UCTV. Husky Nation News is a broadcast that informs the public about recent news and events within and around the UConn area. It will include original reports from the WHUS News Committee, The Daily Campus, and news packages from UCTV. We will also be discussing local and global news, what events are coming up in the Storrs Mansfield area, and we'll provide some insight on UConn's fall and winter athletic teams. Now we're going to get right into it this morning with some reports from the Daily Campus, starting off actually with a story that I wrote for the Daily Campus about SNAP. Now, President Donald Trump signed a law approving federal funding through the fiscal year on November 12th, meaning that residents who receive food aid benefits would be receiving their full benefits for the month of November, not the reduction that went into action at the start of the month. State agencies will be required to issue those allotments to the remainder of the calendar year, including newly certified applicants who were those that applied after November 15th. Now, the FY26 Appropriations Act will restore funding to the SNAP Contingency Fund. However, amounts are not anticipated to be sufficient to provide full funding for allotments for November of 2026 in the event of a lapse of appropriations next year, according to a memo that was released by the U.S. Department of Agriculture on the 13th. Now, the USDA is encouraging states to upgrade their systems and their procedures as needed to rapidly distribute reduced food allotments and to make sure that available appropriations are insufficient to provide full allotments in any month. Even with the uncertainty of SNAP benefits in the state, local communities have been keeping resources available for those in need during this time, and there are a handful of food pantries and food aid programs that we're going to share that are around the Mansfield area for those who may need those resources at this time. The first one is Husky Harvest. This is UConn's food pantry that is scattered throughout all of its campuses and is accessible to anyone with a UConn ID. You do not necessarily need to be a student. If you are a community member and do have a UConn ID, this is open to you as well. At the Storrs campus, the pantry is located at the Charter Oak Apartments Community Center and is open on Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Thursdays from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. during both the fall and spring semesters. At UConn-Stamford, the pantry is located in the downtown building in room 235. It's open from Tuesdays to Thursdays from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. At UConn-Hartford, the pantry is located in the Hartford Times building on the lower level in room G09. The pantry's fall and spring semester hours are from Tuesdays at 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., Wednesdays from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., Thursdays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and Fridays from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. There's also a pantry at the School of Law in McKenzie Hall, which is located on 110th Sherman Street in Hartford, and it's open on Tuesdays from 12 to 2 p.m. and Thursdays from 4 to 6 p.m. or by appointment. At UConn's Avery Point campus, the pantry is located in the Community Professional Building in room 114. The pantry is open Tuesdays and Thursdays from 12:30 to 2:30 p.m. and on Wednesdays from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And finally, at UConn's Waterbury campus, there is a pantry located in the main building in Suite 107. The hours are from 3 to 6 p.m. on Tuesdays, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Thursdays. There is also a pantry located in UConn Health's building in the academic building in room AM016, and it's open on Mondays from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m., Wednesdays from 12 to 1 p.m., and Fridays from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. Most of these pantries are also open during the summer months. However, no information about that has been open for the spring of 2026 or for the summer of 2026. Now, when it comes to other local food pantries, Covenant Soup Kitchen in Willimantic is a big one that provides food and access to basic services to anyone in the greater Windham community. They are housed next to St. Paul's Episcopal Church, which is on 220 Valley Street. Any information regarding the soup kitchen can be found on their website, which is covenantsoupkitchen.org, or at an email as well, which is kclark@covenantsoupkitchen.org. Now, the pantry is open Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Another food pantry that is available in the Willimantic area is the Access Community Action Agency's Willimantic office. They have a food pantry located there. They have one in Willimantic as well as one in Danielson, Connecticut. The one in Willimantic is located on 1315 Main Street and is open on Mondays from 1 to 3 p.m., Wednesdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., and on the first Friday of each month from 1 to 3 p.m. Now, the last pantry or food aid option that I'm going to share with you all today is Connecticut Food Share. Now, Connecticut Food Share is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that has been a member of Feeding America and works with a nationwide network of food banks, as stated on their website. They partner with food distributors to receive surplus food that is then sorted and packed by volunteers at facilities and distributed to pantries throughout the entire state. Now, they have a mobile food pantry locator, which is available on their website, where Connecticut residents in any area can find more than 100 pantries that offer fresh produce and other perishable food items. So for more information about the Connecticut Food Share program, you can visit their website at ctfoodshare.org. Now, transitioning away from all of the topic about food pantries, we're going to talk a bit about what's going on in the state of Connecticut. Now, in the state of Connecticut, they're going to be awarding $12 million to 17 cities and towns to improve the safety of pedestrians, bicyclists, and transit users in community centers. According to the Daily Campus's Patrick Boots, the funding is a part of the seventh round of awards for the Connecticut Department of Transportation's Community Connectivity Program. This funding will be used to build alternative transportation modes like walking or biking for community members. The areas receiving these grants include Ansonia, Berlin, Branford, Bristol, Brookfield, Chester, Manchester, Marlborough, New Haven, North Haven, Norwalk, Old Lyme, Plainfield, Salisbury, West Hartford, Wethersfield, and Windsor Locks. In the areas that will be receiving these grants around stores, Manchester's downtown cycle track will be improved, West Hartford Center to Trout Brook Trail, and their bicycle connector will also be worked on and will be receiving funding through these grants. And Windsor Locks Old Country Road pedestrian improvements will also receive grant funding. Each community had to submit an application to receive the grant. Those were scored with a rubric focusing on the public benefit impact and the town's readiness to proceed with the project being two of the main factors for the program's guidelines. The construction plans of each town can cost at least $100,000, but cannot exceed $800,000, with the exception that projects are completed within 3 years. For more information about the Department of Transportation's Community Connectivity Grant Program, you can visit portal.ct.gov/ccgp for more information. Now, we're going to throw it over to Assistant News Director Rhea Kowalski, who's going to tell us a little bit more about what's going on in the local area. Rhea, take it away.
Thank you, Katie. Hi, everyone. I just wanted to thank you all for taking the time to listen to us after quite a long week before everyone heads off for turkey break. Our first story is coming from the School of Business, who just announced a new one-year MBA program, which would cut the completion time in half. The 42-credit one-year MBA program will be launching this summer and will target all levels of business students who are seeking a career change and those who are seeking a career change. There is an option to either take the course online in Hartford or in Stamford at those UConn campuses. Those who sign up will get priority when it comes to course registration and one-on-one guidance during the registration process. Other benefits include network development, interviewing skills, and career progression. The MBA program has received many high rankings in surveys by Forbes, U.S. News, and the World Report in high grad rates, career satisfaction, and student support in salary increases. The goal of the program is to make sure that the MBA program is accessible for a greater UConn community. Going back to the store's campus, the next story is from the Daily Campus from writer Kevin Guanin, which talks about a 2.7 increase in housing fees to the lowest housing rate. This proposal was presented this past Wednesday during a budget town hall for the 2026-27 academic school year. The proposal was presented by the UConn President of Finance, Rekha Wren, which were, quote, "We're not planning to propose an increase to tuition for the second year in a row so that we can ensure that UConn remains an economic value for our students and their families," said Wren, end quote. The proposals would come with a minimal increase to other fees, such as the technology fee, which is the largest increase in mandatory fees, featuring an extra $84 allocated to high-tech technology in classrooms. This would support other platforms UConn utilizes, such as Blackboard and Office 365, among other technological platforms UConn uses. The infrastructure maintenance fee would be the second highest raise, with the increase of $68, which would address the $1.55 billion UConn has deferred in maintenance, which is an unknown backlog cost as of now. The housing increase, however, would match an overall inflation for other housing units, said Wren. As for the general tuition fee, that remains unchanged. The final story is from the UConn Athletic Department, as they've just announced their annual graduation success rate report. 10 University of Connecticut athletic teams posted perfect graduation success rates, and a total of 15 squads performed at a 90% or higher, according to the NCAA on Wednesday. This increase of the total teams with a score of 90% from 13 to 15 for this year's cohort. The following teams scored a perfect 100% graduation success rate this year, which includes men's golf, women's basketball, women's rowing, women's lacrosse, women's soccer, softball, women's swim and dive, and women's tennis. The graduation rate shows the percentage of student athletes who have earned a degree within the past 6 years since entering college. UConn's overall graduation success rate score was 91%, which kept the Huskies at over 90% for the seventh year in a row. That is all I have for local news. I'm Rhea Kowalski, and Katie, back to you.
Thank you so much, Rhea. Now, we only have one bit of info to share when it comes to what else is going on in the state, because we already covered it a little bit through the Daily Campus, so shout out to them. The state of Connecticut has joined 8 other states in a legal battle against Graystar Management Services, LLC, following the rise in rent costs. Now, other states in the settlement include California, Colorado, Illinois, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oregon, and Tennessee. According to the Office of Attorney General William Tong, Connecticut filed a proposed $7 million settlement on Wednesday. This lawsuit also targets RealPage, a property management software company that uses data tracking algorithms to target people based on their search history, as reported by the CT Post. The prosecutors in this case argue that the software products help rival property managers illegally hike up rents. Graystar is the largest landlord in the U.S., managing roughly 950,000 rental units nationwide. According to Tong's release, in addition to the monetary payment to the states, if approved by the court, Graystar would also be required to refrain from using any anti-competitive algorithm that generates pricing recommendations using its competitors' competitively sensitive data or that incorporates certain anti-competitive features, refrain from sharing competitively sensitive information with competitors, except a court-appointed monitor if it uses a third-party pricing algorithm that is not certified pursuant of the terms of the consent decree, refrain from attending or participating in RealPage-hosted meetings of competing landlords, and cooperate with the coalition's claims against RealPage. Now, that's all that we've got for you guys today. Unfortunately, we will not be throwing the mic over to sports director Vinny Carbone, as he is out sick this week. I think maybe he just wanted to get a jump start on all of the Thanksgiving festivities, maybe try and get home as soon as possible. But we hope that you feel better, Vinny. We're looking forward to seeing you after the break. Rhea, I wanted to ask you before we close out the show today, what are you most looking forward to this break? Well, this Thanksgiving break.
I'm most looking forward to the food, obviously. I feel like there's, like, so many good foods that I know are coming my way. Mm. Like, I personally, my favorite, well, I'm going to ask you this in a second.
Okay.
But my favorite Thanksgiving food, like, aside, like, that isn't in the main, is probably, like, pumpkin pie.
Mm.
Pumpkin pie is my favorite ever, in my opinion. So, what is your favorite Thanksgiving Ooh. Food?
So, my family, we do this fun tradition every year. I don't remember when we started this. My mom must have found, like, this recipe on Pinterest or something. I don't know. And for the past few years, on Black Friday, we'll take all the Thanksgiving leftovers. So, I love a good leftover, you know, situation. Don't get me wrong. I love the whole, like, build your plate. You have a mountain of everything on Thanksgiving. And, you know, I love all that. But we make these Thanksgiving egg rolls the day after. And I will never stop talking about this. I bring this up every year. It is one of my, like, favorite parts of the holiday. Because, you know, while everyone's out shopping, like, I'll do my online shopping, whatever. And then you will find me making homemade egg rolls. And what we do is we take all of the leftovers. So we just lay them out on the table. You put your turkey, you put your mashed potato, you put cranberry if you want, corn, literally anything. And you wrap it up in an egg roll wrapper. We fry it in a little bit of oil. And you have either cranberry or gravy as your dipping sauce. And it is, like, my favorite part of the holiday. I also kind of love that you, like, for the way that my family structures it, we do Chinese food on Wednesday. And I love my Chinese food place. So I look forward to that. And that's when my family, my grandparents come over. Then we have Thanksgiving with family and friends. And then egg roll day. And then I always have my annual Friendsgiving the day after. So it's just a long week of family and getting to spend time with the people that I care about. And long-winded answer to the question that you asked, but I'm very excited for it.
Yes, I'm so excited to hear about it next week.
2 weeks. Two weeks. We're not here next
two
week.
2 weeks.
Yes, we will not be here on Black Friday. We will we'll be doing our own thing, spending time with our families, and we'll catch you all for one more episode of Husky Nation News before the end of the semester. Isn't that crazy? We're, like, almost done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nearing finals. Yeah, me too. Well, thank you all so much for tuning in this morning. Special thank you to our news partners, the Daily Campus UConn Student Newspaper and UCTV UConn Student Television Station. Special thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our theme music. I'm Katie Service.
I'm Rick Wolski.
And there's no Vinny Carbone this week. So you have been listening to Husky Nation News on 91.7 FM. And we will not catch you next week, Husky Nation. But I hope you all have a fabulous holiday.